Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house.
In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
We're spending the month of May talking about relationships. We're calling this month Relational Health and Wholeness, and we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings of the life of Jesus, and we're looking at what does it mean to be in really healthy, whole relationships together, and how do we grow in that? We're doing it in a unique way. We're having teachings from the scripture, some shorter teachings, some therapists from the community or connected to the community are giving us best practices from in interviews, and we're doing some spiritual practices through journaling together as well, and it's been really fun and fruitful.
Really helpful, yeah.
Yeah. And so this morning we're going to talk about forgiveness and kindness. We heard from the Sermon on the Mount, we heard Jesus's prayer and the Lord's Prayer to forgive us our debts, Father, as we forgive our debtors, and from Ephesians 4:32, that passage about a charge, be kind and compassionate and forgive each other as Christ forgives you. And I love that. And so we're gonna come at that now together. Of course, we're going to teach you how to fight. I mean, that's part of it, too. We already told you that. We've got a wrestling match back there. Kidding, sort of. No, for real, though. We're going to talk about forgiveness, perspective, and kindness.
Yeah.
And so if we start with forgiveness.
Yeah, so Phil and I have been married. It'll be 17 years in June. And then we dated for like 5.5 years, which is crazy. So we've actually been together longer than we've been apart, which is wild. And what we realized really early on is that we both have really strong personalities, very passionate people, and we had to learn early on how to forgive quickly, because what we realized is that if we didn't, things started to add up on themselves. And then we started to find ourselves like in a place that we don't want to be. And so, how do we do that? Can you give an example of something that's...
Yeah. So, I mean, most recently, I just turned 40, just had a birthday, and the boys had spent their own money and they got me a couple of shirts that I really love. They're really, really special to me. They're also shirts that if you don't hang them up to dry, they will shrink. And in the chaos of life, they got thrown in the dryer when Jen was doing laundry and they got shriveled. And I went out and I opened the dryer and I pulled them out and I'm like, oh, I didn't know Carter got the same shirts that I got from my birthday. Oh, it's mine. And it's like, look at this little guy. Just right, it's gone. It's gone. And I got mad. Like internally, I was mad and I was frustrated. And I'm like, I think we need to have a conversation about laundry and bigger things in life and respect and people's things.
Oh, and the boys had paid with their own money for these shirts. So just to be,
I was mad. But then I like stopped and I'm like, no, it isn't going to help. It isn't going to change it. I was sad. I was mad. I was hurt. And then I was like, this is stupid. It's t-shirts. And I just stopped and I let it go. And I decided to forgive it and just die to it and be like, these are neat. And the boys can wear their own shirts that they bought. That's fantastic. and I just let it go. And like, let's move on, because it just isn't worth carrying that. And I saw it. And I'm like, hey, I saw the shirts. It's okay.
Which was, honestly, it was like a breakthrough moment for us, because Phil's very particular about the laundry, and so this has been a thing for us. So, all that to say...
It's survival,
babe. We're still working on this, survival. Obviously. But, one thing we've learned that's important is just keeping short accounts, you know? Yeah. Like, not letting things fester, not letting things go. And actually to go to one another and have the conflict if you need to. Go to the people if you have frustration with them. maybe not always, maybe you pick your battles and you don't always go about the shirts, whatever. But when there's stuff underneath, it is important to, like, we were joking, like, you know, we're going to teach you how to fight, but it is important to actually communicate and to have conflict when it needs to happen.
Yeah, it isn't always that easy. I mean, there's a lot of times where we have to work it out and talk it out and work through the feelings and the hurt and the frustration and be heard and then, like, effectively apologize and then receive the apology. And, like, this is a silly little thing, seemingly, but, like, the little things can add up to the big things if you allow them, or sometimes there's a big thing and it's a process of intentional engagement in order to ensure that you're moving towards forgiveness, because it just isn't worth allowing stuff to get in there and creep between you, because then the next thing that arises is that thing plus the last thing and the last thing. Absolutely. And then there's enough things, it's like an avalanche that will get you when you are, like, the tiniest thing can happen and you bring a load of a year's worth of frustration on somebody, and that just isn't worth it. It's just not worth it.
And it's hard work. This is hard work. So hear us, we know that, but it's worth it. It's worth it. So doing the hard work of actually going to somebody when you're frustrated with them and then forgiving quickly and working through stuff, it's worth it.
And in that too, I just encourage you, go directly to the people. I mean, we talk about this all the time at church. It's in our leadership guidelines. If you're a leader at the church, go, like, don't spread that around and get a whole bunch of other people involved, like cancer. Just go directly to the people. I mean, we actually have rules in our own marriage that we live by in navigating conflict in life together. We never say divorce.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk badly about each other. Other people don't slander each other.
We don't backstab each other.
So we go to each other.
We don't share each other's dirty laundry with other people and as, like, an entertainment thing.
Not like we don't talk about it with our friends if we need to, with safe people, if we need to really work through something, but I don't go around, like, saying, like, Phil's this and that.
But we never talk negatively and slander each other, and we never swear at each other. And it just creates, like, a safe space where you can work things out together and find peace and, like, a joy between you. It creates a spaciousness in your soul that is beautiful. I just strongly encourage you. It's worth it. Do the work. Put extra energy into forgiving and pursuing that. Be proactive in it.
And the second thing is perspective. So we said that we have rules with our, with the way that we fight and the way that we engage. And one of the things, this actually came from our premarital counselor, because when we first were going to therapy before we got married, our premarital counselor actually was kind of funny. He was like, okay, I want to see how you guys fight. So go ahead. Why don't you just have a fight right now? And I'm going to, like, take some notes. I'm going to, like, comment on how you guys do it. And we're like,
he's like, dance, monkey.
What
dance.
Do you mean? Like,
fight
now?
On demand.
Like, have a fight?
Fight right now.
I'm not mad at him. And then he started poking and prodding and, like, asking questions and like, what bugs you about him and what bugs you about her? Suddenly we were in, like, this full-blown fight in front of him.
A real emotional fight.
And he took notes and he was like, okay, well, here's what I see. Like, you need to really, you were not listening there. Do you even know what, like, he said, and would you even know what she said? And
he gave us rules for engagement.
He gave us rules.
Like, how to fight fair.
And so that has been something that I've held on to ever since, like, just realizing it's not helpful when I, you know, these things. So,
yeah, and
rules of engagement.
I mean, and he essentially was saying, you're going to be in conflict. That's normal and natural, and you're going to fight and argue.
It's
you just
you
need to
it.
Learn how to do it really well so that it's quite productive and you don't accidentally bruise each other's souls in the process and do significant damage, but learn how to work through. I mean, it's a couple of passionate people. It's really helpful to learn how to argue. And the thing is, I feel like we've spent a lot of time working on this, and we're fairly skilled at it due to practice, but even in this season of extra tension because of the stay at home, man, I feel like there's days we're at each other's throat, like that meme that you see going around with the two dogs that are like trying to kill each other. We're like, it's so funny,
but it's not.
It's not. I can't imagine if you hadn't practiced arguing, like, how you'd get through this. I just encourage you so strongly. When we talk about the rules, when we talk about rules of engagement and perspective, is, like, perspective is all about seeing it from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
And then being able to imagine what they're feeling, where they're coming from, empathizing with that, and then being able to go, oh, I understand where you're coming from. It's different from where I'm at, but I'm not the only perspective, and it creates a different way of engaging around conflict, which is, like, really critical.
And it requires listening. It requires actually, like, putting the boxing gloves down. Well, this one's hard for me because I'm, like, ready to, like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to say next. This is what I'm thinking about while he's talking. Like, okay, well, you think so, that, well, I just wait till you hear what I have to say. But instead, you have to kind of like put the gloves down and listen and actually put yourself in their shoes. And even if you don't totally agree with what they're saying, to even just be able to empathize, like that must be, I could actually see it from your perspective. So yeah, perspective has been a big one for us, and it's something we're still really working on.
And pick your battles. Everything's not worth dying on. I'm learning that. So I would ask this in perspective. What kind of person do you want to be in your relationships in the end of this? Because your perspective shapes that reality of how you engage in that stuff.
What do you want your relationships to be like when you come out of this time? Something that we've been talking about.
Totally.
Okay, and the third one.
Last one is just kindness. And we read the verse, we've said it a couple of times, be kind and compassionate, this charge. And what I found is often we're like sharpest or kind of least kind or least careful with the people that are closest to us. And we almost take them for granted, and that's such a shame. My encouragement would be don't. Be kind and compassionate. I love this. There's these flowers, a whole group of flowers. The California poppy is one of them. The tulips, one of them. It's a flower that only opens when there's light, when the sun shines on it. And so at night they close every day. If there's low light, they close. If it's cloudy, they close. And I almost picture kindness like that. It's like the sunshine that you're putting on people that allows them to open and to just be themselves and to be vulnerable and to let their guard down. And it like has the power to change reality. In all kinds of relationships and encounters and contexts.
Yeah, we've been talking about how much power we have as individuals to affect. Like you walk into a room, your energy affects the people around you. Even just with like we've been letting each other go and go on runs or have time alone. And I've been running a couple days a week and I've made it just kind of a game to smile at every person I pass. And I'm not talking about like a halfway smile, like I smile, like a big toothy smile at people. And it's been so fun just to watch people respond. And I feel like people are kind of down right now. And just to watch them like light up and smile back. And it brightens my day then to like watch them smile back at me. And so I feel like, are we being kind? Are we being kind to everyone we're encountering? Whether it's, you know, the person at the grocery store, the person that you're passing on the freeway. We don't drive anymore, but if you did drive, you know, that actually matters is,
your energy, like you bring an energy to every relationship. And is it the kind of energy that's opening people up or like closing people down? That you have a great power, a very dynamic power in how you engage with people. And so I would just encourage you, are you a kind person? When people say that about you, and, what would it look like for you to operate in a sense of kindness and compassion with other people? Because I guarantee you, if you begin to operate that way or continue to, I mean, it will radically change the dynamic in the context of all of your relationships. Mm-hmm. So that's it for us. Forgiveness, perspective, and kindness. We're asking Rob Fisher to jump in with us on a Zoom interview as a therapist to bring us some best practices in this regard. So let's welcome Rob. Everyone, welcome Rob Fisher. He's no stranger to redemption. He's joined us at our summer summit last summer. He's been at the church to speak before. Rob is the director of the SIFT Counseling Center, and he's a therapist himself. He's an MFT therapist, amongst many other things. He's just a beloved friend, and so we've asked him to join us here as we can interview him as a specialist, as a therapist, around this idea of relationships in terms of forgiveness and kindness with each other. So we're so glad that you're able to join us. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for inviting me to be a part of this topic and series. And thank you guys for just kind of what you're doing at Redemption. Such a great community that you guys have. So good to be with you guys. So yeah, it's good to be here.
Thanks, man. It's an honor. Okay, I'm gonna jump in. A couple of like pointed questions. Jen and I shared a story in the message around a counselor that helped give us like rules for engagement. And I just would ask you, what like practical tips would you have to essentially to like fight well? Like what tips do you have for like rules of engagement of how to fight and argue with each other?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think even before I get into that, I think, one thing I would say is conflict's not unhealthy. It's a normal part of any relationship. And so I think we can recognize, hopefully, that conflict can actually bring us closer together rather than it doesn't have to just divide us. It doesn't have to, you know, kind of push us into two corners. And so I think if we can enter into it with that mindset, then I would say that perspective is huge. You know, so I think like my perspective of myself as well as my perspective of the other as I engage in conflict has a huge impact on how I kind of, I don't know, react, interact, approach the other person. So I think, for instance, my perspective of myself, if I feel like I'm right and that my perspective is the perspective, or I didn't have a part to play in this, that it's just the other person, then I'm going to be a lot more judgmental. I'm going to be a lot more critical, and I might resort to unhealthy things like name calling or blaming. And so those are not good in conflict. They tend to drive us, you know, further apart. They tend to put the other person on the defensive. And so if I can enter into a conflict or a conversation with the perspective that I'm a limited human being that tends to see things from my perspective, but I don't have the benefit of knowing all of the perspectives, nor do I have the benefit of knowing, you know, kind of what might happen, you know, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. And so if I can kind of enter into it with that awareness of kind of my own limitations, but I think if I can also have a perspective of the other as, you know, my partner, my friend, my spouse, my lover, rather than my enemy, I think that goes a long ways, right? Because I think, you know, when we enter into a conflict, if we see the other person as my enemy, then we're going to be on the defensive, or we're going to feel like we have to go on the attack. And so I think if I could look at you as my friend, as my partner, and if I could do that, then I can recognize that what you say is not intended to inflict harm upon me. Mm-hmm. It's your experience. It's your perspective. It's your view of whatever it is, but it's also like you bringing your desires and you being vulnerable and transparent with me, which is actually inviting me into deeper relationship with you rather than, you know, trying to drive me away. So I think, you know, those are some of the things that I would say in terms of perspective. And then I think, you know, obviously humility is huge for, you know, fighting fairly. I think taking responsibility for my own stuff. So instead of using you messages and you language, which is pointing the finger and it's blaming, I need to use I language. So taking responsibility for, hey, I feel, I want, I desire. And I think, you know, in relationships, some of us do that better than others. You know, some of us are more comfortable with taking responsibility. Some of us are less so. But I think, you know, rather than trying to tell you how you feel, it's really important for me to tell, you know, you how I feel, if you will. So I think those are some of the things that come to mind.
That's good stuff for us.
Yeah, thank you. The church is coming to our marriage therapy now.
Welcome in, guys. Welcome in.
Yeah.
So tensions are rising in our homes, at least in our home. I know. I just feel like things are a little bit more on edge than normal. And so what are ways that you could just suggest, like, practical ways for us to manage when we're feeling that moment of, like, things are heightening and, like, I'm about to explode. I feel it. I feel it coming. What are some things that we can do to manage our own emotions and not try to manage everybody else's emotions? Like, what are some tools for us?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Jen. And I think, yeah, you're right. Tensions are rising in all of our homes, mine included, you know? And so, and I think, you know, we need to recognize and, I don't know, just accept that we're in wild and unprecedented times. And so those times are causing stress and they're causing anxiety. They're tapping into our fears. I mean, I know for us with, you know, teenage kids and then one that's on the way towards adolescence, you know, it's just a lot to manage. You know, they had hopes and dreams that are not being fulfilled in this season. And we had hopes and dreams that are not being fulfilled in this season. So I really appreciate you putting language even to that, that, yeah, there is tension that's rising in our homes. And I think, you know, part of what you said that is so crucial and so key is just being consciously aware that I'm feeling that bubbling up inside of me. Right. So I think first thing is we need to be, you know, kind of in touch with what's going on internally. And then if we can do that, then I think some practical steps that we can take is, you know, obviously we need to maybe take a break. So if we're recognizing that that tension is bubbling up inside of us and we're feeling anxious, or we're feeling really frustrated, or we're feeling really kind of on edge, then now is probably not the best time to have a really, you know, good, healthy conversation. We're probably going to say things that we later regret, because we're going to be acting out of our emotion and more of like our, you know, kind of infant brain or a reptilian brain, than we are going to be, you know, acting out of more of a conscious, you know, kind of self-aware brain, right? And so I think we need to take a break, and then maybe, you know, go for a walk, be aware of our breathing, you know, so slow our breathing down. I think those are things that are kind of like associated with mindfulness, which again is just like a self-awareness. And then I think, you know, kind of taking into consideration what's our goal, you know, what's our end goal in this conversation, in this relationship, and what are the deeply held values that I want to continue to kind of hold on to. And so those are ways to kind of ground ourselves. Like in this moment, I want to say this and I want to act this way. But what if I actually kind of regulate that and recognize that I actually have a choice in terms of how I respond to you, right? So I don't have to attack you. I could actually take a break, walk away, gather myself, be reminded of those things that are most important, and actually, again, who you are to me. And then I can come back and I can engage with you in a different way. And so part of that too is what we call, you know, kind of like cognitive restructuring. And so that's how I interpret, you know, what you just did, right? So if I interpret what you just did as, again, intentionally harming me because you're a bad person and you're mean, or you hate me, you don't like me, then that's going to lead to a particular response in me, versus if I can look at that and say, is there another way to interpret what just happened between us? Huh. You know, it's not that you hate me or you don't like me, because I know from history that you're my friend and that we're in relationship and you've accepted me at times. So if I can kind of restructure my initial thought and get to that place where I recognize that you're, you know, my friend, my partner, my spouse, then I can respond out of a place of more security rather than insecurity, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, totally does.
So good, yeah.
It's helpful.
Again.
I've been doing that, like I call them mom timeouts, where I've been kind of just like, I'm walking out the front door for a few minutes, and my neighbors they're probably like, what is she doing? Because I just keep sitting on my front steps for like a few minutes and pulling it together, and then I come back like, in.
We're worried about her. She's always out there.
Oh, she's on the step again. Things are not going well in the wood
home. No, it's good. It's like hell. I like it.
Yeah, it's healthy. You're doing the healthy thing, because again, you're not just acting out of emotion in the moment. You're recognizing yes, as is true for all of us, right? Yeah, we're not perfect. We don't get it right all the time.
No,
it's good stuff though.
Okay, I'm going to throw one more at you, which is a bit of a bigger conversation, but in light of like the reentry process that's just beginning, this phase two, and just the reality that every state, every county is in a different place, but also all of us are in a different place of comfortability when it comes to reentry. And it can just lead to such division and such polarization and conflict between us. Like, do you have any tips for us to kind of apply that on a larger scale of like how we begin this reentry process of kind of managing that in light of like grace and unity and stuff?
Yeah, no, again, feel great words. I think grace, unity, I think that kind of brings me back to what's our goal. You know, and I think like having the end in mind as we enter into, whether it's a conflict with our spouse, whether it's, you know, kind of our own, even working through our own emotions, our own history, all of that kind of stuff. I think those, you know, kind of words of grace and unity and forgiveness are huge. And so I think, you know, part of what comes to mind for me, and this is really probably birthed out of just my own experiences as a, you know, human being, as a husband, as a father, is, you know, I think I have a tendency to look upon things a particular way until I, you know, my experience is deepened or broadened. Mm-hmm. And so if I've seen just a sliver of, you know, reality, I tend to think that is quote unquote the reality. Until I begin to recognize that reality is much bigger than what I want to give it credit for. And so I think, again, for me in our life and in my life, it's been, you know, kind of pain. I think, you know, I've looked at forgiveness a particular way, you know, when maybe that's been more simple, more easy. But when I recognize that life is a lot more complex, and forgiveness requires a lot more of me than I think it did. Or, you know, I think in scripture, you know, we talk about walking a mile, you know, or even two in a person's shoes. And I think when we do that, when we can put ourselves in their shoes and recognize that, you know, there are certain things in these times of reentry that are being triggered in others that aren't necessarily triggered in me, that could cause them to react and respond differently than I would. You know, so if I'm itchy to get back, you know, to quote unquote normal and to re-enter, that's because of certain things that I've experienced in my life or certain things that are motivating me right now. You know, so for instance, maybe I have financial needs that aren't met, you know, otherwise. And so I really feel like I need to get back to the way that things were so that I can provide for myself, I can provide for my family, whatever it might be. And so then I could look at another who's reluctant to re-enter, and I could be critical of them. And I could see, you know, them as maybe being insensitive. But if they're a person that has a different history, a different past, different needs than myself, then I could maybe begin to recognize that maybe there's something about re-entry that could be traumatizing for them. Maybe they have a family member at home who is compromised, immunocompromised, and they're worried that if they go back into a reentry mode, that they could contract something that, you know, maybe they're not as worried about their own health, but maybe they're worried about that child of theirs who, you know, could not have the, you know, just kind of internal resources, you know, based on health and kind of their body to respond or fight off the illness in the same way that I or you could. And so I think like that awareness that, again, I can only see my own perspective, but I can't really see the other person's perspective until I maybe ask them, you know, I ask some questions. Hey, it sounds like you're reluctant to re-enter, you know, tell me more what that's about. Where's that coming from in you? And so then as I do that, I'm not listening to like judge or respond to the other person. I'm really trying to listen to understand their experience. And then I think if we can do that with a mindset of grace and with a mindset of unity, and I think, you know, Jesus talks a lot about desiring mercy, you know, and so if I can be merciful in that and recognize too that, you know, all of us are different. We all have different perspectives, all have different needs, all have different backgrounds. And so I think that allows us to hold a fuller picture rather than just this narrow slice.
That's so helpful.
It's really good.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. Just for your friendship. I just enjoy time with you generally, but for you to come and do this with our whole church, what a gift, man. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Thank you guys. Again, just praying for you, praying for all that you guys are carrying as leaders, and grateful for just your friendship and your being honest and authentic and real. I think as leaders, you know, it's great for us as maybe your congregation members to see, you know, kind of all of you, if you will, your kind of humanity. So thanks for being vulnerable and honest with that.
Amen. Right back at you. All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, sounds good.
That was so good. I love Rob. I love everything that he brings.
So good.
So much wisdom. I was getting lost going, oh, we need to work on that. I should write this down. I got lost that I was having an interview with him for you. I'm sorry. Okay, we want to give you a spiritual practice to take on this week. It's a journaling practice. Again, it comes from the Berkeley Greater Good Science Center, and it's called Perspective on an Argument, and it should take you about 15 minutes in a day to do it. And the idea is to learn to operate in your relationships taking perspective from like other people's angle and side and experience of what's going on. And it's a journaling exercise. And the idea would be to get your journal and then remember a time when you got into an argument with a friend, a close friend, a spouse, a significant other, a romantic partner, somebody that you're dating, family, whatever. But remember, especially if it's still causing you distress, that's actually even more helpful because it'll allow you to enter in a different way. And as you're remembering that argument, I want you to imagine that thing from a third party neutral perspective whose goal is the best interest of everybody there. Imagine them sitting there listening to everything that happened, you and the other person, And then take your pen and journal and actually journal about that whole thing from the perspective of the third party. Like, how would they have heard what the other person was saying and doing? How would they have heard what you were saying and doing? What would it have been like for them and how they experienced what the other person was doing? Write it out in like great detail and do that every day this week, maybe with different arguments that you've been in or different conflicts that you've been in, and just practice looking at things from different perspectives and angles, especially a neutral third party.
Yeah, and the idea is that if you do this over and over again, that you actually are training your mind to think this way, to like step outside of yourself and to see the situation from another perspective. So I think that's
And the hope would be that you could actually do this real time in actual conversations and conflict and arguments. And so the journaling,
that'd be like PhD level.
Would train you how to have greater perspective real time in the midst of actual conflict. So we encourage you to that. We'll email it to you tomorrow along with all the other equipping stuff that will come out. We're going to continue in a time of worship together, and Kiana's going to lead us. So I ask you to enter in and join us.